We're sorry to inform you your request for a second loan has been refused. And the board of directors up in the city has instructed us to take the farm from you. We understand your problems and wish that we could help you, but the falling price of wheat's not our concern, and the cost of operation may well be rising, but the fact is that you lose more than you earn. This Saturday morning there will be an auction underneath a cold gray country sky, and while the rest of the nation is still sleeping, there'll be
south of the Great Lakes capital city, covering all of North America via satellite, AM and FM stations all across the country, and live and archived on the World Wide Web. This is the second hour of Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. As we continue on here on this 25th of June, 2011, in the last hour I was talking a little bit about this ATF gunrunner scandal called Fast and Furious. I want to finish this up real quickly, and we have Sheriff Richard Mack waiting in the wings, and if he's up to speed on this, maybe we'll get his opinion on this and many other things pertaining to law enforcement. But this Investor's Business Daily report says, as we've noted, gun tracking operations stopped at the border. That seems odd if the purpose was to catch gun traffickers and their drug lord bosses. It makes sense, however, if the real purpose was to perpetuate, in the interest of pursuing the administration's gun control agenda, what Bob Owens of Pajamas Media calls the 90% lie. Unwilling to guarantee a secure southern border as part of the campaign to reinstate an expired assault weapons ban, the administration has charged that much of Mexico's gun violence is our fault. Both governments have pushed the myth that 90% of weapons confiscated by Mexican authorities originate in the United States. Fox News has reported that, according to ATF Special Agent William Newell, Mexico sent about 11,000 guns to the U.S. for tracing in 2007 to 2008. Out of about 35,000 confiscated. Of that 11,000, 6,000 were successfully traced. Of that number, 5,114, or 90%, were found to have originated in the United States. Weapons that originated in foreign countries are not sent to the U.S. for tracing. So you see how the numbers are cooked, listeners? Neither are weapons of Mexico Army deserters or those stolen from the armories. They go on to talk about other things, and I'm not going to read this whole piece for the interest of time, but the important fact is figures lie, liars figure, and these people are all a bunch of liars, but this, make no mistake, in my thinking, this was definitely a gun control plot, folks. And it backfired on them only because Brian Terry was gunned down. These ATF agents came forward and blew the whistle on this whole thing. And where this is ultimately going to go, well, my guess is somebody will be pushed out, probably the leadership of the ATF. And, you know, the point is, this is an agenda. And it's just part and parcel of so many things that we never even learn about, listeners. All right, we're going to take the break a few minutes away. When we come back, we're going to visit with Sheriff Richard Mack. And we're going to talk a little bit about how we can maybe stop some of these federal agencies from invading our local areas and how important the local sheriff is to do that. All right, stay with us. This is Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. We'll be back here in just a moment.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alimax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
I've been waiting for something to happen. For a week or a month or a year, with the blood in the ink of the headlines and the sound of the crowd in my ear. You might ask what it takes to remember when you know that you've seen it before, where a government lies to a people and a country is drifting to war. And there's a shadow on the faces of the men and the guns to the wars that are fought in places where their business interest runs. On the radio, talk shows, and the TV, you hear one thing again and again: how the USA stands for freedom, and we come to the aid of a friend. But who are the ones that we call our friends? These governments are killing their own, or the people who finally can't take anymore, and they pick up a gun or a brick or a stone, and there are lives in the balance.
Welcome back to the broadcast, Govern America. I'm Darren Weeks. Before the break, we were talking about this Fast and Furious program with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, helping to arm the drug cartels, ladies and gentlemen. And one real quick note here before we bring up our guest. We have the Small Arms Treaty waiting in the wings. And this treaty would enact tougher licensing requirements, creating additional bureaucratic red tape for legal firearms ownership, confiscate and destroy all unauthorized civilian firearms, ban the trade, sale, and private ownership of all semi-automatic weapons, create an international gun registry, clearly setting the stage for full-scale gun confiscation, and, in short, overriding our national sovereignty and in the process of providing license for the federal government to assert preemptive powers over state regulatory powers guaranteed by the 10th Amendment in addition to our Second Amendment rights. This is something that is the goal. It's been worked on for years, and it's something that we need to talk about, amongst other things, especially states' rights and the right of your county sheriff. With us to do that is Sheriff Richard Mack. He's an author and speaker. He's served in a wide variety of roles over the course of his 20-year career in law enforcement, which began in Provo, Utah, with the Provo Police Department. He became a narcotics officer and he eventually ran for sheriff, and he won that office. And he was involved in the famous Supreme Court decision defending the Second Amendment rights. He now travels all over talking about states' rights and sovereignty and the proper role of law enforcement. And we're pleased to have him here on Govern America. Sheriff Mack, thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me, Darren. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Can you give our listeners a little bit about your background? I know I read just a real brief bio, but when did you kind of wake up to the issues that our country is facing? Did you kind of already know about some of the challenges that we face, or did you see something during the course of your work in law enforcement that made you concerned about the direction that we're headed?
Well, you mentioned one of them, one of the things that started to wake me up, that we were on the wrong path and that law enforcement owns part of that. I mean, usually you hear law enforcement officers accuse the other two, you know. Oh, it's the legislature, you know, they make all these stupid laws and, you know, we just have to enforce whatever they say. Well, that first is as close to a lie as you can get. It's absolutely incorrect. And most police officers think that they're just little puppets for the legislatures, and we're not. Mm-hmm. We're part of the executive branch, and we're a complete separate branch of government. And there is no law that says, or no principle in the Constitution that says, that cops have to enforce all these stupid laws put out by the legislatures. And that's one thing that started waking me up. But the undercover assignment that I took in Utah really started to wake me up. I saw that we were just wasting our time, and it took me a while to understand that, and I did a lot of reading and studying about marijuana and the drug war in particular, and I saw firsthand how we were just spinning our wheels with the drug war, and it took me about 10 years to wake up to what the drug war really was, and I believe it's one of the biggest farces in American history. It's almost as bad abuse as the IRS and the Federal Reserve, but be that as it may, one day after, I'd say it was about a year after I worked undercover, I was assigned back to patrol, and I was writing a lady a ticket, and an epiphany occurred to me. I mean, it just absolutely changed my life, this lady did, and I realized that she wasn't the one in the wrong. Yeah, she had run the stop sign, no question about that. But I was participating in a revenue scheme and pretending that I was helping the community. And I realized that I wasn't doing anything to help this lady or her family, and that I had become a by-the-numbers jerk and writing tickets because my sergeant and my lieutenant told me to be out there writing tickets. Mm-hmm. And I felt like an IRS agent just out collecting money. And so I almost quit my job over this. I said, look, I'm going to find out what law enforcement is about. I'm going to find out what government is for, and I'm going to find out why I'm a cop. And if I can't find the answers to these questions, then I'm quitting. I'm not going to do this job. And I ran smack in the face of the oath of office. And I was just so distraught and ashamed that I was not keeping my oath of office. And I had signed this oath, and I promised in God's name that I would uphold and defend the United States Constitution. And I made a commitment to start over, and that I would indeed keep my job as a cop, but more importantly, I would keep my oath of office.
You know, you had said something about this woman changed your life. What did she say? Was it something?
She never said a word.
Oh, okay.
She never said one word to me.
It just dawned on you.
It hit me. Her pathetic predicament. I mean, she was extremely poor. she had a bunch of kids in the car that were acting up, and that's the reason she ran the stop sign in the first place. She just got too preoccupied with trying to settle her kids down, and she lost track of where she was on the road. And she never told me that either. I just saw it. I saw what happened. She ran the stop sign right in front of me. And, you know, the car, inside the car, looked like the Tasmanian devil going on because the kids were just all over the place inside the car. And I realized even before I walked up to her car what had happened, and I could see that it was going on in the car. And she looked so bewildered when she got through the middle of the intersection. She looks over at me and kind of looks at the intersection, and she goes, "Oh, my goodness." And she throws her arms up in the air as if to say, "What else could go wrong today?"
But okay, she changed my life. I want to play the devil's advocate for a moment there, Sheriff. The average person, or the average, I guess, law enforcement officer, I suppose, that hasn't had this epiphany would say something to the effect of, "Well, what do we do, just not enforce the traffic laws?" What would you say to that?
I would say, first of all, I have never said don't enforce the traffic laws. I would say, first of all, be fair and honest in the way you enforce the traffic laws. And if there is no victim and you're just sitting there pulling the radar gun all day long, and you think that you have done something to better the community, then I guess you can go right ahead and keep doing it. But if you're just doing this because the insurance companies want you to do that, and we're vicariously working for the insurance companies, every ticket that is written, they make money off of it, and they're the ones who lobbied to get these laws in place in the first place. And so if you'll realize as an officer that the Eighth Amendment says no excessive fines or bail, nor cruel and unusual punishment, and I'll submit that ticket writing is all three. And I also have a book called The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, where I term my personal terminology for writing tickets is taxation through citation.
There you have it.
And I will gladly debate any highway patrol officer, lieutenant, Department of Public Safety director about ticket writing. It brings in about $7 billion a year, and I'm going to tell you that qualifies for cruel and unusual punishment, and it's also absolutely excessive fines and bail. And so if we are so stupid in law enforcement that we can't find any other way to regulate the safe flow of traffic except by taxing the poor people that are already underemployed or unemployed in this country, and we have at least five or six major cities in this country that have ordered their officers to write more tickets, Flint, Michigan, Detroit, San Francisco, because these places are having difficulties balancing their budgets, and they have indicated and set an example to the and demonstrated to the entire country that ticket writing is not about public safety, but it's about public usury and revenue
about
collection.
Extortion.
That's exactly what it is, and I've called it that as well.
Yeah.
And so I think that law enforcement has to be honest enough with the community and the public to admit that we've been part of the problem, and we need to examine ourselves and how we conduct ourselves and look at the stupid drug war and admit that it's been a huge failure, go back to the drawing board and find another way to attack this problem. I hate drug abuse worse than anybody, but right now I have to admit that being a drug warrior as I was and being that we've been part of the problem, that the laws of prohibition do not work. And just as Ben Franklin said, if you refuse to learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Absolutely. All right. We're going to take a break here, Sheriff Mack. And, folks, we're going to open up the phone lines here real soon. If you'd like to join in the conversation, you're welcome to do so. 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And when we come back, we're going to get into some other things.
I definitely want to talk about Fast and Furious.
Absolutely. Let's talk about that as well. Stay with us, folks. A few minutes away, we'll be back here in just a moment here on Govern America with Sheriff Richard Mack.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, "Help, I've fallen and I can't get up," protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now, 1-800-410-0739, 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Welcome back to the broadcast, Governor America. I'm Darren Weeks. We're visiting today with Sheriff Richard Meck. And callers, we will open up the phone lines at the bottom of the hour or shortly thereafter, so just hang on with us. And folks, we have some open lines if you'd like to jump on board, 800-313-9443. Sheriff Mack, you were talking about your story, and I don't want to spend too long on this, but I take it then after you had this epiphany and you woke up and started to realize what you've become, what you've become a part of, in the sense that you were a part of the revenueing operation, you were kind of helping the elitists to basically, for lack of a better terminology, this is crude, but suck off the public, basically.
That's exactly what it is.
You, that's why you ran for sheriff?
Well, it's not really why I ran for sheriff. I didn't really know why I was running for sheriff when I did. I spent 11 years with Provo Police Department, and then during that time, that epiphany caused me to start studying the Constitution so I could make sure that I was keeping my oath, and I will maintain to every peace officer in this country, the 700,000 that there are, that you cannot keep your oath to uphold and defend the Constitution if you've never read it. And you've got to study it from the intent of the Founding Fathers. And that's what I did. And I loved it. And I was completely converted to America and American ideals and the Constitution. And I saw that we can still be cops and follow the rules in the Constitution. And my wife's parents really liked my philosophies, and they were really patriotic people. And so they were lobbying me to move home to Arizona and run for sheriff. And I said they were crazy. I had no desire to do that at all. I could retire in 9 years from Provo Police Department and then move home and run for sheriff or do something like that. But I didn't want to give up my retirement and move home. So I told my wife, I said, tell your parents to leave me alone. And she would always take the calls and intercept them on my behalf. And so they had a few other people calling and lobbying me. And I just thought it was crazy. And so did my wife. And neither one of us wanted to do this, even though we're both from southern Arizona. And yeah, I would love to be sheriff in my hometown. But it just wasn't practical for me and my family at that time. And so finally my wife and I made a list of all the pros and cons as to why we could not run for sheriff. And there was about 23 reasons why we could not do it, and it wouldn't be a good idea, and only a couple of reasons why it would, and that was just to be closer to her parents and mine so our kids could be grown up around the grandparents. And we wanted that, but it certainly wasn't enough to move home over. And we sent that list down to them because we thought any reasonable person would leave us alone after that.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, I guess, but I'm telling you honestly, I don't know what happened, but about 3 or 4 weeks later after we sent that down to Arizona, we moved home and ran for sheriff. and I'm serious, Darren. I can look back at it now. My wife explains it just a little bit differently, but still both of us do not know why we did such a crazy thing. It just felt like my wife and I looked at each other one day and I said, I guess we're moving home to run for sheriff.
Wow.
And we did, and I won. It was a very improbable election. I hadn't even lived there for 12 years, and I'd never served in law enforcement anywhere in the state of Arizona. But I was elected, and then 1992 I was reelected. And in 1993 is when the Brady Bill was passed, and 1994 I was the first sheriff in the United States to file a lawsuit against the Clinton administration, my own federal government, to stop the incursions and intervention and overreach of the federal government on this gun control scheme known as the Brady Bill. And Sheriff Prince joined the lawsuit about a month later. He and I ended up at the Supreme Court in 1996. And on June 27, 1997, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the federal government cannot tell the states to do anything. And it's the most powerful 10th Amendment state sovereignty states' rights case in the history of our country, and everybody in this country needs to see it, especially county commissioners, sheriffs, city councilmen, school boards, and legislatures, state legislatures and governors, so they can see that we are completely violating the Constitution, that the federal government does not have the authority to tell us what to do, and they are not our boss.
Well, indeed, that is continuing to go on. We're seeing with the influx of migrant workers coming into this country from Mexico, these border states are trying to do what I've been saying for years they should do, and that is to make laws to stem the tide of migrants coming across the border, to enforce the borders, because the federal government refuses to do their job and stop it themselves. And
well,
yet they're being hauled into court. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, that's correct, and the typical example of that is Obama is suing Arizona for trying to stop a problem that the federal government caused in the first place.
Exactly.
And so for anybody to think that the states, now remember this, historically, the states formed the federal government and then assigned them to protect our borders. We delegated that authority to them. We can take it back if we want to.
Absolutely. All right, we have the bottom of the hour break. We have a few calls piling up. Stay with us. We will take your calls. When we come back from the break, I want to touch upon this Fast and Furious thing, and then we'll get into some of the calls. Stay with us, folks. We'll be back with Sheriff Mack.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling Total Transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program. Use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
We're back. This is Govern America. The website, by the way, is governamerica.com, www.governamerica.com. And our guest is Sheriff Richard Mack, and his website is up there as well. SheriffMack.com is his website. I was perusing it last night, so you can go there. It's linked up with ours, SheriffMack.com. Now, Sheriff Mack, I wanted to have you comment on this whole situation with these straw purchases from the gun shops there along the U.S.-Mexican border. Mm-hmm. We know the ATF watched as weapons were purchased. I read one report last week where they were actually even, evidently some of these ATF officials, the leadership, mm-hmm. had actually gotten the IP addresses of some of the security cameras and were actually watching the purchases take place in their Washington offices, according to this I think it was a mainstream article that I read last week. Anyway, this appears to me to be a setup operation. What are your thoughts on this whole thing?
Well, it was, and Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America has made that claim on Fox News just recently this week. And I've been following it very closely as I'm including this story in my new book that should be finished in about a month, called The Magic of Gun Control. And This is a typical indication of the sinister movement within the Obama administration. You see, Obama and all his staff are extremely anti-Second Amendment, anti-gun, and but they have been reluctant to come out boldly and blatantly to promote more gun control. Mm-hmm. So this was their plot to do so. And if you'll remember, it was about a little over a year ago, probably closer to a year and a half ago, where Hillary Clinton actually made the accusation that Mexico's violence was due to guns being sold in Arizona, and that there wasn't enough restrictions on gun shows and gun shops where Mexicans could just come in and buy guns and take them back to Mexico. Well, first of all, it's illegal for a Mexican to do that. Mm-hmm. That's against the law to take a gun back into Mexico, so why aren't they stopping it at the border? Well, first of all, there's not enough border security, especially on our side, to stop all that. And that's the problem that has really caused a lot of this, is the lack of border security. However, the every one of your listeners need to understand that this story is bigger than Watergate.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Absolutely.
People have died over this. Watergate was about G. Gordon Liddy and some others burglarizing the Democratic headquarters at the Watergate Hotel. It hurt no one. It was a political ploy. They wanted to see what the Democrats were up to. Who cares? But, yeah, it was against the law. No problem. But this took down a president, and it became a gigantic story, probably the biggest story in the last 50, 60 years since probably Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is about the American government, the Obama administration, specifically fabricating and creating a problem so that they can come back to us and say, see, we told you, we got to have more gun control, and we've got to get rid of these guns.
Mm-hmm.
And they have violated international law, and these guns and weapons were used to kill Brian Terry, a Border Patrol agent for the United States government. And they have been stonewalling the ATF. Ken Melson, the director of the ATF, has been stonewalling, has refused subpoenas from Congress, which is a crime in and of itself. Eric Holder has tried to dodge all of this, and there is no question that Eric Holder would have to have known about this. And even if he did or didn't, the buck stops with him.
Yeah,
if you ask me, the buck stops with Obama.
It doesn't really matter if he knew or not.
Exactly.
You know, it's his responsibility to know.
It's exactly correct. And so what's going to happen is Ken Melson is going to resign, and they're going to sweep all of this under the carpet because the national media is allowing that to occur.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll call out Chris Matthews, because Chris Matthews is anti-Second Amendment. And he's such a pro-Obama guy that he won't talk about this on his program. Well, I've been on his program before, and he tried to attack me on my pro-gun stance. Well, now I called his producer this week, and they haven't called me back, obviously, because I'm really upset with the mainstream media not exposing this being the biggest story to hit America in the last 50 years.
Absolutely.
And it's the biggest scandal. It is absolutely the biggest scandal.
Well, when you have an actual Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms agent, you know, and
several of them.
Yeah, but I mean, we actually play the audio from John Dodson on the show where he said this was not just a case of where some of the weapons got away from us or whatever. Helping these weapons to get into the hands of the criminals.
Right.
That we knew were going to be used in violent crimes was the plan.
Right.
He says, and whenever they complained to their supervisors, they said, well, you just don't understand the plan.
Right. Yeah, and one of the supervisors says, well, if you're going to make an omelet, you got to crack some eggs. And this kind of cavalier and arrogance is typical of the federal government, and not just under Obama administration. This is just what happens in the federal government. And they actually had several now, besides just Agent Dodson blowing the whistle. Now they've had numerous agents blowing the whistle on this. But this was actually, there appears to be evidence where the ATF planted these guns and made sure they got sold down to Mexico. And how is it that you could actually trace a gun after it gets down into Mexico? what, did it have a GPS unit hooked to it? That's absurd. To be able to think that somebody could trace that gun, and yes, it took a shooting and a killing to actually trace those guns, and it was used against our own agent.
Absolutely. We're going to follow this story, but I'm like you. I don't really expect any positive outcome because, as with all congressional investigations, it seems like they're always a whitewash.
Well, in 1997, they investigated the criminality of the IRS, and Congress, and this was in front of Congress, where IRS agents testified about agents fabricating evidence against American citizens who have actually been to prison or worse, were committed suicide over these things. And the Congress told the IRS to be more user-friendly and to open offices on Saturday as a result of these crimes. So, yeah, it is a joke, and I'm sure this one will be a joke as well. But anyway, if you got callers, I'd sure love to hear from
people. Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mark in Georgia. Mark.
Blessings to you. I don't know if you're familiar with Bruce Cockburn's song. I think this was back in the 80s. The title of it was If I Had a Rocket Launcher. Let's give it a cursory listening. Oh, well, he's really mad at this person. He wants to shoot him with an RPG. I would encourage you to go onto YouTube and watch the video. And he explains that what he's talking about is the scene he sets is a helicopter is flying over a village, and the villagers scatter for cover. Like, well, why? Because these helicopters are known to open up with automatic machine gun fire. Why? The villagers aren't threatening anyone. They don't pose a danger to anyone. And the whole song is about how militaries, and often aided and abetted by guess who, have gone out and committed atrocities and murdered civilians, sometimes just for the sick, psychopathic pleasure of watching somebody die. And what he's talking about in that song is, if I had the means of putting an end to this atrocity, I would do it. And when I discuss this with people, I say, well, are you saying you would shoot at an American helicopter? Like, look, the insignia and the nationality of the crew of that helicopter is irrelevant. The crime is still wrong. And I think that it would ultimately save lives in the sense that to send the signal of, you don't do this. I don't care what country you are. I don't care what insignia is on your aircraft or on whatever weapons platform, whether it's an armored personnel carrier or a tank. The crime needs to be punished because I get the impression that the major obstacle people have is that pride tells us what we want to believe, and humility tells us what we need to believe. And it's a lot easier to believe pride than it is to give a fair hearing to humility. And so with this thing about the Second Amendment, I've heard reports, and I'm going to qualify that there are arrests in progress regarding the banksters and their minions, like I say, subject to verification. And I'm hoping that this is real. We'll see. Yeah. But if we reinstate the militia, obviously the right to keep and bear arms does not exclude things like having a shoulder-fired surface-to-air missile. If the people are being threatened with helicopters or tanks, they need to be able to defend themselves against those weapons too, right?
Well, yeah, I don't care if law-abiding citizens have those sort of things, but
yeah.
My message is that there's still a way to keep this all peaceful and effective.
I agree.
But if we don't have county sheriffs on board, the county sheriff is the ultimate authority in the county, and he has a responsibility. If you'll read my book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, is that he really is the ultimate protector of the people, and it really matters very little where the threat comes from, if it's our own government or other government officials or tyrants or corrupt politicians, the Federal Reserve. I don't care where the threat comes from. The states have the authority and the sovereignty and the responsibility to protect us, and the ultimate line in the sand is the county sheriff. And if he's working along with his posses or militias, he has the authority to call out the citizens to help him in keeping the peace. And so we can take America back county by county and state by state and make Washington, D.C. corruption irrelevant.
Well, I'd like to counter that with, you cannot trust any single individual with that kind of power the ultimate power, I beg to differ in a respectful, honorable manner, the ultimate power is in the grand jury. And the grand jury can say, we've seen what you're doing, you better stop it. You better do what your job requires. The grand jury is a plurality, like in the New Testament.
Okay, Mark, unfortunately, I'm going to have to move on here because we've got other callers.
But check out that video, okay, YouTube, Bruce Stockburn, if I had a rocket launcher, and I'd appreciate you got to press on. But you can appreciate my point about you need to have a plurality of the grand jury to oversee the sheriff, correct?
Okay. All right, thanks, Mark. Appreciate the call. Did you want to respond to the grand jury thing?
The only thing on the grand jury thing is you've got to have the sheriff to enforce any indictment they bring out. They don't have an enforcement arm, and a grand jury is useless without somebody having teeth to enforce their indictments. The grand jury is not the enforcer.
All right, Bill in Montana. Bill, go right ahead.
Yes, I'd like to ask the guest, does he consider the fact that when this woman was driving through a stop sign, that someone could have been driving their bicycle through that intersection and been killed?
Yeah, woulda, coulda, shoulda, but it didn't. And I was the only person there. There was no victim. I did tell her that, that somebody could have been hurt. But I realized nobody was. And, government can play the shoulda, woulda, coulda thing, all the way to, hell and back. But, my job is to not only, protect people, but it's also to be fair to the person who did not harm anyone. In fact, I was the only living thing within 600 feet of that intersection, and I wasn't harmed in any way. So you want me to turn right around and gouge her $45, which she didn't have. She couldn't have paid the ticket. It was $5. And I realize that poor people can get in accidents too. But a servant would have said, ma'am, when you have to discipline your kids, pull over. And right now, those kids have way too much energy. There's a school right there and a playground. Why don't you take them over there for 15, 20 minutes, let them play a little bit, and then go about your business? That would have been a real public servant and a real honest thing to do. She would learn her lesson. She would realize that I was helping. And everybody leaves there a better person, and the community is better off for it.
Well, we got to get away from this enforcement of victimless crimes in the first place, because, like you said, it all is focused exclusively on revenue enhancement. You know, as far as public safety, there are laws, and really, I guess it's really up to the officer really to decide.
That's
you know,
right.
Ultimately, you know, those cases where it's extreme enough that some enforcement measure needs to be taken, but that's, you know, my understanding is they have quotas.
Let's not get into this thing that the only way that we have to enforce something is to write a ticket. That is not. And I want officers to be creative and cognizant of the needs of the people that are there and making sure the community is protected from excessive fines and bail. That's where my oath is.
Absolutely.
And
well, there's a lot of times where
to the
police
officer.
Hold on, Bill. He's not done talking.
So it is up to the officer, and I want officers, one, to keep their oath of office. That's 10 times more important than writing any ticket.
Absolutely. Let's move on. Let's go to Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, you're on the air. Do we have Sherry?
Hello. Good morning, gentlemen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sheriff Mack, have you looked into this research being done by some people on the Tucson shooting that it's not what we were told it was?
Yeah, I have seen some of that. I'm really not buying it at this point. You know, I try to keep an open mind. The greatest thing on that is that the judge in that case was the judge who first heard my case. He was the judge, Judge John Roll. He was shot and killed that day. He had a huge impact on my life. You'll see his name in all my books and in my presentation. If it hadn't been for Judge Roll, my case would have never made it to the Supreme Court. He was an extremely principled judge. He's probably one of the best judges, if not the best judge, of the federal government in the last 30 years. He actually said in his ruling that Congress exceeded its authority under Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution. His ruling was extremely powerful. He was a principled man, an honest man, and he actually died taking a bullet for somebody else.
Well,
put himself in the way. So some people say he was the target. I've been extremely disappointed in the media's coverage of Judge Roll's life, but he had a huge impact on my life, and I do want to honor him, and I have done so. But that's all I know at this point.
Well, this Ed Sherini, what he's done is, and Joyce Riley has interviewed him.
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Several times, and he says that he thinks Judge Roll was killed at another location. Have you looked at that?
No, I would really like to talk to his wife, his widow, but I haven't been able to yet.
We have to take a break here. Thanks, Sherry. I appreciate it. We'll take Lee in Georgia when we come back for the break. Don't go away, folks. We'll be back.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Sheriff Richard Mack. And once again, his website is sheriffmack.com. Can you talk us real briefly about your the books that you have to offer, Sheriff Mack?
Well, my first one was a book about the Second Amendment. It's probably one of the most powerful books on the Second Amendment anywhere in the country. It's called From My Cold Dead Fingers, Why America Needs Guns. And it dissects the Second Amendment contemporarily and also from the tradition of the Founding Fathers, why it was developed in the first place and what it means to American liberty. And quite honestly, there is no American liberty without gun rights. And so you can read that book and see for yourself. But it's an extremely powerful book. And that's why I'm kind of writing a new one about that, because this one's a little bit dated, but it still nevertheless starts with the famous speech by Patrick Henry, of his famous Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech,
mm-hmm.
and then it goes from there. But then the proper role of law enforcement, and then I have a little booklet called The Victory for State Sovereignty, and that fits in your little pocket, and you should keep that with your pocket constitution. You should get some of those to pass around to your legislators and your sheriffs and county commissioners so they can see a quick synopsis of the Supreme Court victory that we had that details that state sovereignty is still alive and well and that it's up to the states to enforce state sovereignty. And, you know, we're certainly not going to have the federal government enforce state sovereignty. If anybody thinks that Barack Obama is going to pick a state sovereignty czar, then you got another thing coming. But and then I have a the most powerful book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, which has got me back on the lecture circuit because this really is talking about the solution to what's going on in Washington, D.C., and the sheriff ultimately, hopefully working with other elected officials in his county, but especially working with the people, can make the corruption and criminality of Washington, D.C. irrelevant. And he can, and you, if you get sheriffs across the country working together in the holy cause of liberty, it will keep it both effective and peaceful.
And that book really needs to be in the hands of every single county sheriff in America.
And every citizen, because he works for you, and you've got to know what he's supposed to be doing. So you're correct. Everybody needs to read that, and especially every sheriff, yes.
Now I'm hoping, can I hold you over for 5 minutes into the next hour?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
In fact, I could go a little bit longer if you want me to.
Well, I have another guest scheduled, unfortunately.
Okay,
I would like
no
to get
problem.
You back for a longer segment. We have a couple more calls here. Lee in Georgia, go right ahead.
Sheriff Mack, nice to speak with you. I want to throw out a couple points from the way I understand things, and then I have a real couple simple yes-no questions. And
okay,
then,
if you can be as brief as possible, please.
Okay, well, I'll break this down. Real simple, I've always believed that unless there's damage or harm or injury to person or property, no crime has been committed. Now, in the movie Gladiator with Russell Crowe, they were talking about the sands of the Colosseum being the heart of Rome. Well, I would argue that here in the United States, it's the bench. And with this, if a sheriff or a deputy is in a courtroom and they see blatant disregard for the actual authority, do they have the authority to step in and engage the court to point out where they're in error?
I wouldn't do it. If I was sheriff, I wouldn't do it right then and there, but I certainly would talk to the judge about it later, and I've done so in my career.
Okay. I do have another question if I can ask.
Okay, I'll hold you over the top of the hour break, and then we have also Dave in Idaho. We'll take you in the first segment of the next hour. And the next hour we have Bob Chapman, an international forecaster, joining us as well. Ram-packed program, folks. Hour number 3 of Govern America is about to begin. Stay with us as we continue.